Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's up, Giblets? It's your boy, B-Train. Who the fucking fracking else? Or who the fracking? What the fracking? Yeah, that's a side hobby of mine to have my ass bark like a dog. Anyways, so SmackDown Live, NXT, those two shows, in my humble opinion, if you're WWE casual, I don't give a fuck. If you tell me who your favorite superstar is, I'm not going to laugh at you if you say Braun Strowman because, well, the man's quite scary to look at. I don't want to get these hands. But SmackDown Live emanated from Memphis, Tennessee, where Jerry Lawler, for some reason, was interviewing AJ Styles about his match with Shinsuke Nakamura, and AJ said, "I'm sorry. Maybe I should apologize for punching him in the face. I'm sorry I didn't punch his head off." I mean, that's what, you know, the intensity of SmackDown Live is there. They didn't have to get on top of ladders and have Alexa Bliss pretend flirt with Braun Strowman to get a fucking promo across. They didn't have to have, oh, I don't know, gajillion times seeing a fatal four-way, a tag match, and then a cluster fuck a booking. So not only to put mid-carders, you want Team B or B-Team, whatever the fuck they call themselves, third-generation superstars or second-generation Curtis Axel. Actually fourth for him, and Bo Dallas over on the Raw side of things. But folks, if we're going to do a SmackDown Live review, maybe I should just, let me see here. There we go. That's right, monkeys in the truck. Hit my goddamn music, please. Well, folks, SmackDown Live from Tennessee. The women do what every man and their mother, I don't care if you're gay, straight. Women getting into fights is the most fucking appealing thing ever to grace your TV. And what did SmackDown Live do that Raw could never fucking do? Because for the umpteenth time, you'll see Sasha versus Bayley. Now, I was witness to that in Brooklyn, believe you me. All right. That does not pale in comparison to what Lana, Naomi, Becky, Charlotte, oh, and no one is ready for Asuka against the two jokes on the roster, Sonya Deville. Actually, Deville can be actually taken seriously. Mandy Rose, yuck. And the Iconics. Now, those two are fucking hilarious. I must say, Carmella's moonwalk is majestic. I have to say that because, you know, she's the princess, queen, whatever the fuck she calls herself, gimmick-wise, I don't care. Carmella's a good heel. Charlotte, oh, that's too easy. Daddy was a great heel to begin with. But anyways, the women main evented on SmackDown Live because general manager Paige made it so. Now, my initial thoughts when I saw the rest of SmackDown Live, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy, God bless Shinsuke and his ability to punch you right in the nuts. I mean, they have trained Japanese superstars to get to WWE, get really, really good, and then when they get on main roster, I feel bad for what's about to happen to Kairi Sane, but when they get to main roster, flying fuck, Asuka loses to Charlotte at Mania. I'm getting off the subject here. But Shinsuke versus Jeff Hardy was actually a pretty decent match, good flow. Shinsuke actually put his knees to the back of Jeff when an attempt of a swanton bomb, and then you say Shinsuke with the low blow. I think the comedic match of the night was probably Rusev versus Samoa Joe, and then The Miz to make it even more explosive with explosive elements added. The Miz was the special guest referee, and you see him in the back asking the referees, can I, you know, poke him like this? And he's poking the referee in the chest. Funny shit. Okay, some funny fucking fracking shit. Watching The Miz get, you know, a skull-crushing finale on Rusev, climbs up the ladder, goes over to the announce table to open the briefcase, expecting a contract. But oh no, what's this? There's fuckery afoot. New Day put pancakes in that briefcase. You see why I like SmackDown Live? Because they cover all the fucking elements of a wrestling show. You gotta have your comedics, you gotta have your strong. Yeah, Shelton Benjamin, Daniel Bryan, I've almost forgot. Shelton Benjamin and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, heel hook is his new submission. Not bad, though. Yes Lock doesn't end it, you know, anymore, I guess. But I hope to God he's not going to put that big oaf, that big asshole, the dude who looks like a tall sophomore, that ugly-ass Trump supporter. Yeah, you heard me right. I fucking cannot stand people who go in the back of a wrestling room promoting what the president did was right. You know what, you big fucking tard? I hope that when Ambrose comes back, or I hope that when somebody that puts you in your fucking place tells you you were not meant to be a fucking wrestler, how you doing? You see, at least I can conjugate better than that little sniveling shit that tries to steal people's gimmicks. Enzo Amore. Now, the pointless matches of SmackDown Live, were there any? Probably. They were probably skipped over because Hulu only replays an hour and a half, folks. Skipping on to the good parts and semantics. This starts the advertisement. If you would like to go to join the Monster Factory, you can do so at affordable rates. For $49.99 for 7 months and a prorated plan of $500 down payment. If you would like to visit the website and see for yourself, go to monsterfactory.org. For those of you wanting to subscribe, to the network, you can do so by going to WWE.com. You can get a preloaded 3-month card that comes after the first month free. You can get those cards at your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and Walmarts. The card is $29.97, pending the tax that comes after, which there's none because it's $29.97, you dipshits. Now, two, if you don't like subscribing to a 3-month card, which would make it so much fucking easier, it's $339.57 with a 12-month, you know, if you get 12 months worth of cards, dipshits, okay? You don't have to get 12 cards, you morons. Oh, my God. Did I seriously just get asked that question right here on Instagram? No, I don't think The Miz is better than EC3. They're literally the same fucking character. Literally. One can talk, the other can wrestle. I'm guessing you know which one I'm referring to if you can piece it together. All right, folks, moving on past the advertisements. For those of you wanting to fight against the good fight against... For those of you wanting to fight the good fight against cancer, you can do so by visiting SusanGColeman.org, CureForConnor.com. The websites are located and affiliated on WWE.com. If you'd like to present your child to MakeAWish.com, you can do so by visiting MakeAWish.com. Type in the name of the celebrity superstar that you wish to adhere to challenge to come see your child. No, see the child because you don't know what he or she's last name, how that might go. So go to makeawish.com, type in Randy Orton name, John Cena, Carmella, Charlotte Flair, Dean Ambrose, whomever you want to type in. It could be an NBA star. It could be the Cavaliers, who, by the way, kicked the shit out of the fucking Cleveland Cavaliers. Sorry, Miz. All right, folks, that does it for the advertisements. We got an hour and 19 minutes left. What can good old B-Train possibly talk about the last hour and 19 minutes? Money in the Bank. The pay-per-view in which men climb up a ladder and also now equal opportunity workplace. The women can climb up the ladder and get a briefcase for their opportunity from their respective brand to get the Money in the Bank briefcase contract. Now, the fucking funny thing is, guys, I was there at SummerSlam when Baron Corbin, who fucking lost before SummerSlam, and knowing my hometown in Brooklyn, where's your briefcase? That was the fucking funniest shit I have ever seen. And now, oh, speaking of Baron Corbin, they made his character a constable on Monday Night Raw. What the fuck? If you can say, put your head in the toilet and flush it over and over and over again, because it's quite an experience, although I would know that because I got a bunch of swirlies when I was younger. So, how does one watch Monday Night Raw without wanting to set fire to your own hair? Baron Corbin as a constable. Now, this is not the rant that I normally start off with because I'm going to do that at the hour mark. It's got a lot of shit to cover. Money in the Bank. Thank God Baron Corbin isn't wrestling anymore for now. Let's stick with that subject. Why do I not like Baron Corbin? He's big. He's an asshole. He was rude in the back to a bunch of extras, although he claims he never was. Let me explain this to you, folks. When you watch Baron Corbin wrestle, the only cool thing he ever does is End of Days. That's it. That's the only pop that Baron Corbin is going to get because it looks like an inverted sidewalk slam, but he just pulls him over like a TKO and then pulls him back. Hey, to all my fans in the UK, Latvia, Australia, Japan, howdy, I see you on Instagram, hi. Paige's new role was much better than Baron Corbin's. She distanced herself from Absolution. I think they had to because their merch sales were really quite low. And also, if you notice, Paige is a lot better and less cleaved here. And her lips, yeah, I can say her look needs work, but she is as a baby face, as a baby face. Paige has been both heel and baby face. I don't give a fuck. They gave her a role that she could actually fucking work. Now, compare her and Baron Corbin, a constable and a general manager. The one area that Baron Corbin flunks in is managing to keep an audience long enough to sing Kumbaya. I can't even... Hell, dude, if Elias came out even when Baron Corbin was talking, I, sadly enough, will say, would have paid more attention to Elias, the modern-day fucking honky-tonk man. If I'm going to rip characters to shreds, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not ripping them to shreds. I'm literally being honest with you all. From the audience that watches Monday Night Raw just to watch it, Braun Strowman, okay, Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, Finn Balor, Cesaro, Sheamus, they all have a place on Monday Night Raw. Apparently Finn Balor's place is just to watch himself get beat again, again, and again. And if he does get a victory, it's against someone minimal like Curtis Axel or fucking Bo Dallas. So in other words, all the NXT prize fighters are going to the fucking wayside because, well, if you watch and observe, and you watch and you observe Monday Night Raw's depiction of Baron Corbin, I mean, he finally shaved his head. Thank God. I did not want to look at, you know, a character from Toy Story another fucking week to hear Baron Corbin come out and literally whine on national TV. Also, guys, if you think that I don't watch Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, I do. But I have to pay focus to, oh, yes, I'm going to say it. Ring of Honor is all in. Cody Rhodes event sold out in 10,000 seats and counting, sold out in half an hour. And you have acts like fucking Baron Corbin, and you think you're going to sell seats. They've literally sold 11 grand, folks, at an Allstate Arena event at Money in the Bank, and they're going to say it's sold out. How the fuck can Michael Cole lie? I'll tell you. He lies every week that he has a journalism degree, because I know he does, but Jesus Christ, how many times do we have to rotate announcers? That's another thing. How many times does WWE have to rotate David Otunga and Jonathan Coachman? Does this rotate the ethnicity throughout the fucking show? Booker T. I mean, Booker T shows up every now and again. And I gotta say this, the one thing that is consistent about Raw is that it sucks on a daily fucking weekly basis. Who's your big headliner? Braun Strowman. The other big headliner, Alexa Bliss. There's the other big headliner, Sasha Banks. Who's the other headliner? Finn Balor. See what I did there? You guys who are writing the fucking promos, what the fuck did you drink? Because somebody needs to tell your asses. Promos are only half the battle, but if they can do their talking in the ring, Bob, we'll give them something to talk about, Michael P.S. Hayes. The amount of disrespect that gets shown to fans, you expect us to just sit down and shut up and take our medicine. No, sir. We are the people that go to your fucking shows and watch the monstrosity known as Monday Night Raw. Yeah, I'm cutting a shoot fucking promo on that because I don't fucking care. If you decide, you know, by happenstance to sign me, I'm just going to say what Punk said to you guys. I hope you know what you're getting yourselves into, because you'd be a liar to say if you didn't want to get signed. But to tell the truth about your show is Monday Night Raw, they're half of Money in the Bank. I would rather fall asleep, or I'd rather get shot in the foot with an arrow full of poison. I love the superstars that are on that roster, but dear God, man, it seems like Alexa Bliss and a few of the others that are on Monday Night Raw right now, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, all them, Bobby Roode, it does matter when I can literally tell you on Raw 25th that friends of mine went, they cut up the shirts, and the reason why you never want to show it is because it's disrespect to your company. Yeah, semantics. How did this Baron Corbin rant turn into that, you ask? It's because a friend of mine have been watching wrestling all our lives. We care about it, or else I wouldn't be fucking roasting it alive. Now, I've got 11 minutes to kill, so I got to kill the time somehow. When you go to a show, what do you expect? When you go to a movie, when a Marvel movie, you expect a hero to beat the bad guy. Now, does it happen in Avengers Infinity War? Nah, not quite so much. But the point I'm getting at is there's basic simplicity on Monday Night Raw. It's just the way that you present it to us. Please understand that 4-on-4, is that really protecting the talent? Because somebody can get hurt. Somebody can get hurt any match at any time. Because I understand from a performer standpoint that we are to entertain the fans, the other way around, saying you're entertaining yourselves and you're getting the message across. How? By keeping Kevin Dunn's sorry ass around? Nah, no thanks. No bueno. And here's why. The fans want to see a certain something happen at WrestleMania. There's so many last-minute changes. There's so many, no, we can't do this. This is going to not happen. Shinsuke is not going over, blah, blah, blah. We're going to just prove a point because all the fucking dirt sheets say we're going to do this. Did it ever occur to you guys that some people spent over $1,000 to watch the bullshit that you guys presented at WrestleMania 34? Naomi winning, yeah, cool. Matt Hardy winning, yes. Taker, there's the other highlight. But Shinsuke, not even... Asuka's streak ends against Charlotte. That's bullshit. They didn't even build off of that. Where was the... What was the point of having Asuka, you know, just basically say, I'm coming to SmackDown Live because, well, Charlotte beat me. So what if Charlotte wins again? Is Charlotte going to beat Asuka twice now? Or is it going to be the shit show fest of Rousey getting traded to SmackDown Live and Rousey winning the championship? She didn't even fucking work, by the way, to get a shot. She just gets thrown into the mix, and here's Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey. And you know how ET, Entertainment Tonight, treats that, right? Nothing against Ronda, but poor Nia, who already got body shamed by most of her peers and most of her family, and most of the people in Sports Illustrated and ESPN, has to go up against somebody that way well more known than Nia Jax. So Raw is failing, folks. Monday Night Raw is failing, in my opinion, because why? They have all the talent, but do they fucking utilize them the proper way? I ain't talking about booking. I'm talking about if you have a feud building between Bayley and fucking Sasha, then you pair them together on a fucking team again. Which is it? They're feuding or they're not? I give up trying to figure out Monday Night Raw when you gave us a gauntlet match as a preview or as a prelude to Elimination Chamber. Do you know how fucking unnerving that was for me and my friend to sit there and watch 56 minutes and 46 seconds of that fucking bullshit? I don't care if Seth won. All I care is you took up most of the fucking talent's time. You know they're on the road and it's a nice break. Their bodies get to rest. I get it. But if you wanted a gauntlet match, shouldn't that shit have gone down in like 24, 26 minute time frame? There's a lot you can fit in that time. There's a lot that people could say about, well, what do you think the positives are of Monday Night Raw? What do you think the positives are, B-Train? Honestly, folks, there's very few Monday Night Raws that have been decent. And it's funny. This is, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, or you don't want to showcase your superstars before the fucking show. Vince, honestly, dude, this is a plea to you. It's, you know, everyone can say you can leave, old man, and let Triple H take over. It's not just Hunter, guys, that's going to take over. You do realize that when Hunter takes over, that means Stephanie, Brian Armstrong, Joey Mercury's not there anymore. Last I checked, he's elsewhere and doing wonderful things. It's the common concern that I have with WWE when it comes to their programming. It's can they maintain a working relationship with fans. And so far, guys, yeah, you maintain the working relationship with the common fan. They're not the son of a plumber. But I got to say, it's one thing to present the same match for 2 weeks. But if you do so, and you presenting matches to us that are the fucking fracking same every single time, fans are just going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, turn it back to online. At least I do. And, oh, yes, if we're going to turn this into a war of words, I can easily do that. to the person that just asked the question, do you think if WCW was still around, would WWE be any better? Actually, yeah, because when they had competition, Monday Night Raw was actually fucking decent to watch. And there was no, if we can see this match, you know, we'd be really extremely happy. The fans were able to manipulate the way things were because of the reactions that we had to certain people like Stone Cold Steve Austin or Mick Foley or Triple H, or back in the day, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Razor Ramon, Diesel. These are some good stuff. I think, looked alongside the rest of my friends who grew up in the 90s and saw people like Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, Raw was just beginning in its early stage, right? So how can we fix Monday Night Raw and make it decent again? Well, we can't make America great again because Lord only knows I'm going to get a lot of shit for saying this, but to make America great again would mean less comments and wars on fucking Facebook about politics, less comments and wars about religion, less comments and wars fucking period. Same goes for wrestling fans. If you fuckers so much as put on a comment board how you would book a show, I'm going to tell you where to shove it and how to shove it with as many inanimate objects that I can fucking possibly think. Do you understand me? You guys have not a clue what it's like to be a wrestler, what it's like to be in the ring. So, you want to make it better? What am I doing about Monday Night Raw? I'm pointing out the fucking obvious. What are you doing about it? You're messaging me on Instagram and saying that if I'm such the expert, I should be the one booking. Too fucking late, dude. They obviously pan off a podcast to see what will work and what doesn't work because Michael Hayes is a dipshit. There, I fucking said it. You know what's even funnier is that he still lives in 1988. The system of booking that he goes by, watch table for three. Oh, there was no need to change Roman Reigns. Look here, you racist prick. To make Nation of Domination was fucking lucky as hell. Oh, that was a great concept. Blah, blah, blah. Four black dudes basically saying they've got the power, blah, blah, blah. Can you say dumb shit even louder? The fucking fact that you got gimmicks over, Savio Vega was the most stereotypical Latin gimmick that I have ever seen in my life. Why Monday Night Raw was a success? Because two words, dude. Attitude era. One group, sir, D-Generation X. And that pushed the fucking envelope. What does Monday Night Raw have? Because they took away pyro because it was harder to transport and the trucks had to wait all that fucking time. Yeah, see what Baron Corbin does to somebody when you rant about him? Then you go on a spiel like I do. Oh, kit and caboodle. Well, folks, we're about at that time where in a minute and 42 seconds, you're about to enter my mind even further, and it's going to get nasty. Not just about one incident that happened to me eons ago. It's about an incident in through which I can attest to because I was a part of. And I'm going to just, you know, say the things that I feel about ICW. And also, in regards to the owner who basically, you know, made it so that everyone can blab about it. Not just about that. I'm going to talk to you about Money in the Bank. My thoughts, my predictions, my fears, my non-fears about it. Basically, kind of a continuation of yesterday as well about how you present shit to fans and how what it means is because, in essence, in 48 seconds, I will, you know, sit here and talk to you about how it's important to push your ticket sales, do whatever events you have to. Hell, if WWE would do car washes and, you know, show up at random places and you get tickets, I mean, that's one way of pushing it. It's a promotional. But, you know, like I said, in 27, 26, 25, I'm not going to count down that long because, well, that'd be ludicrous. But knowing me, 19, 18, 17, fuck you, I don't give a fuck. 12, I'm going to kill the dog soon. 8, I swear I try to keep my ass from barking, but you know, hey. Here we go. Enter my mind, bitches, because it's about to be off the rails, uncensored. See Punk? Probably not. Maybe by luck. But one thing you ought to know, folks, is that for the entire hour, I will not spend my entire life discussing an abomination known as ICW. Rest in peace, you piece of shit company. The dude who says he's had experience in WWE. Okay, well, if you dress in pajamas, if you dress in Batman fucking pajamas, I feel sorry for those pajamas, man. I really fucking do. Because in my estimation, if you're a promoter and you can't book a fucking flight correctly for a wrestler by the name of Abyss, then my biggest problem is, why would you not be able to book him a flight back home when he just told you that there's a winter advisory in Chicago? Long story short, folks, don't ever associate yourself with a promoter like Sean Smith, who's a fucking retard. Don't. Because Sean Smith cannot book a show. Yet somehow, he's got, you know, one of my good friends on a flyer for it because she's the champion. Honestly, folks, it's none of my business to tell people you can or cannot wrestle. But as a fan, as a friend, and as a former worker aligned with this person, get your head out of your ass and realize that the only reason this shitbag of a person, this non-ball-having piece of shit, is doing anything wrestling related is because he found poor motherfuckers who wanted to be a part of his shit backyard show, which he put on at a gymnasium. At one point, motherfucker accused me of talking to people whom I, you know, or talking shit to people directly. Let me just put it quite blankly. This motherfucker is an asshole. Sean Smith is. He couldn't pay Abyss, he couldn't pay his boys, and he fucked over a lot of people. Plain and simple. So if you ever get into the wrestling business, look up the name Sean Smith. It'll go under asshole or guy who masturbates in front of people, probably. Has his wifey pay or is going to use his wife's money, supposedly according to him, to pay back the fans, pay back the boys, everything. That little piece of shit asked his former workers, were they talking shit? Is everyone talking shit? Why the fuck should you care? Your career is in the shitter. Abyss could have easily beaten his ass. If there was no internet back then, or today, Sean probably would have gotten his ass handed to him, folks. Did it happen like this? I got a car from Avis. It was a Mazda because I wanted to get a rental car. And I've never had bad luck with Avis. So after flying for 3.5 hours from New York, not only did I rent a car to go get my friend, which my friend Kurt Gannon got up and chewed my ass out for, you know, getting up on time. We get to fucking Pittsburgh after Abyss's, or Chris's legs, you know, was on top of the fucking dash because he's so big. We drive all the way there. We get there. We see the ring's not going to fucking fit inside that shit. I mean, there's no fucking way. Not only was the ring not going to fucking fit in the venue, there was probably only 10 people there. So, in other words, it was like a backyard show. This motherfucker, he threw a hissy fit. You know, Granny Hulkster went outside and she said, "Brian, I've seen this a million times before. I'm not going to fucking take it. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to go to this guy's show." And the reason I'm bringing it up, folks, is because people are saying, I'm going to roast him. Here's what I'm going to say. It was an event in which is out of our control, because poor people involved in this shitbag show, you know, were really looking forward to it. And last time I was kind of weary because, well, how do I put this? When you invest in wrestling, you sacrifice a lot. And what Sean doesn't understand is that when you get involved with more than five guys that are coming to wrestle on your show, and you didn't fucking pay them, they have jobs, but does that matter? I mean, really honestly at this point, does it matter? Yes, because you fucked with their livelihoods. They could have been spending time with their family. There comes a point when all of you start wondering, okay, well, is this guy going to fuck us over, or is he just going to be the asshole who sits and says, you know, or gives us empty promises? That I can tell you right now, I don't need to fucking shoot promo this motherfucker because I'm already in the process of it. When you're a promoter of a wrestling business, make damn well sure that you pay your boys. Make sure that you pay them. In all essence, the moral of this story, folks, is don't ever associate with Sean Smith. He is a piece of shit. And then after telling him several times that I never, ever said anything to those KCXW guys, I literally said hello to Jason, said hello to Billy or Sarge. I shook hands with certain people. The only motherfuckers that really deserve a fucking kick in the ass, Deke. And a few of you fuckers know who you are. I ain't going to go through the list of names, but for those who decide to start shit, fuck you. Because that shitbag who dressed in Batman pants, he didn't have money up front. Everybody trying to get paid, he was basing his pay off of the door. There's no fucking way you can do that as a promoter. You got to fucking make pre-sales, do whatever. Put money in a bucket if you have to. Do raffles, do bingo, do whatever it takes to get the money. Like I said, moral of the story is don't associate with this dumb fuck. A duplicitous twat bag, piece of shit, twacked out fucking Fugazi is Sean Smith. All right, moving forward, folks. I want to continue my tirade or helpful tirade about how you present stuff to fans is how you get ticket sales. Ring of Honor, they didn't have to try because they give the fans what? They give the fans what they want. Fans are like spoiled children nowadays because they got the internet, they have dirt sheets, they have everything that'll fit the mold of giving them what they want. They've got Evolve, they've got Wrestling Revolver. Oh, hell, you've got a ton of shows, man, that can just fucking work their magic outside of WWE. There's just so much that goes into giving the fans what they want. No, they say, keep it simple, stupid. Make sure that you give the fans what they ask for, and that is a good show. I don't care so much about booking now. I'm at that freaking stage of my wrestling fandom career. If you give me a good show, great. If it's not meant to be, oh well. Fans can't get what we can't get what we want all the time. We're not spoiled children. But it'd be nice if I'm talking about WWE, if the WWE could present something to us. Not just the, hey, here's a show. What kind of show, man? Quality, good show, blah, blah, blah. Quality is in. You give the fans a story. You get them out the edge of their fucking seats. There's been occasions where that has went down, but did it really work? I don't know. That's up to you guys to be the judge of that, considering the fucking fact that I sat at Survivor Series and had to deal with a fan who would not shut his pie hole about how they're burying people with John Cena, this, that, the other. I don't give a fuck. How is John Cena going to affect your fandom if you show up to the event and watch a show? I'm more or less concerned of why am I hearing or reading on my newsfeed, you know, John Cena this, blah, 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 that. See, I try and steer clear of that because then WWE will give him a full, you know, full dosage or full dosage of John Cena to direct or directly to the fans. So I have to say this as nicely as I possibly can. Giving the fans what we want, it shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't be, okay, well, I guess we can give them what they want. That's why I went off on Michael Hayes. That's why I decided, you know, at this point in my life as a fan, I really shouldn't be concerned about how they book shit. Although it is kind of partially the reason why WWE keeps losing fan after fan after fan. Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling is a good example of how you push ticket sales. I mean, look at Kenny Omega, look at Chris Jericho. If New Japan decided to come here to the stateside, I think WWE would be in for one hell of a fight. There's reasons why they plucked Kairi Sane. There's reasons why they got some people in the Mae Young Classic. It's because when you watch an actual pro wrestling Japan match, yeah, there's some Americans like Big Bang Ronnie Nicole. There's some like Mike Seidel, Evan Bourne, Mel Bard from Japan, but that's a different story. There's a lot of reasons why ticket sales are so much more in Progress Wrestling, ICW, CZW, New Japan, Evolve, Wrestling Revolver. It's because they know how to fucking market their tickets better. I went to a ballroom for flying fuck's sakes and watched Rich Swann, who I thought, you know, was the biggest scuzzball because of what I had heard on the internet. But until I met the dude and actually talked to him, he said the biggest problem with WWE was they put the cruiserweights right after SmackDown Live. And I find that intriguing because the presentation that you give fans is, here's 2 hours of show, and then they got to sit for another hour and a half for guys that really want to present their shit, and you know fans are not going to care. I love the cruiserweights too, dude, but here's the thing. When you turn on TV, right, and you see Seinfeld or you see the Goldbergs or you see shows that, you know, you want to watch, Grey's Anatomy, for flying fuck's sakes, A Sunny Day in Philadelphia, or Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Always Sunny in whatever, you see shows that make your brain go, fuck, I want to see it again. You tune into Monday Night Raw. You watch, I'll give you a good example, guys, of giving the fans what we want. Survivor Series in Houston, that was a glimpse. War Games. NXT TakeOver New Orleans, yes. Andrade Cien Almas dropping title to Aleister Black. I mean, there's certain bright spots in WWE. But when I think of it, when I think of things outside of WWE, how they present stuff to fans, the marketing, yes, is a lot less extravagant than WWE. However, when a wrestling fan goes to see what they see mainstream, and I mean mainstream WWE, it's hard. Because I've seen it evolve, folks. From literally week in, week out, even the shows like Velocity and Heat, when they had episodes featuring Eddie Guerrero and China. I mean, those are the fucking pre-shows. And they'd say, ladies and gentlemen, in 5 minutes, WWE will be going live. Get out your signs. Make noise, blah, blah, blah. Pyro, blah, 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 will be going off in 3 minutes. Anthony Kimmel's voice would come and you'd have a distinct sound. Now you've got JoJo and Renee and all these fuckers around. That's not the issue. The announcer's not the issue. The booking, like I said, is not the issue in some regards. However, if you're going to book somebody to lose after the fact that they won a Royal Rumble, why? So giving us what we want is not on the menu, right? We have to go with the same appetizer, the same main course. You guys can never vary from the fucking, I won't say script, but you guys can never vary from what you want. And you tell us how to feel on social media. I'm trying to understand that logic. So pushing the fans away is your way of saying thank you to us, and you know what we want. So in other words, we're like your little child. WWE is pushing their ideas, folks, their wants, their needs. They got a Father's Day sale going on, and I'm going to push this. So if you haven't already visited the WWE.com website, go do so, because 30% off on merch. And guess what, fuckers? Every fucking week there's a fucking fracking sale. If that isn't any indication that the company is flunking when they have to have a sale every single fucking week to push their shit, then I don't know what else to tell you. Buy it. Dig it. Watch the network. Drink their Kool-Aid. Because when you watch WWE, there's good, there's bad, there's ugly, there's indifferent. It must annoy the fuck out of the people that listen to this show, because I, on a daily basis, have found negative in WWE. And I used to, as a child, in sixth grade, want to be so badly to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock or the New Age Outlaws. Or here's one for you. The man who has to come out of retirement because people are comparing AJ Styles to the Heartbreak Kid. I remember watching WrestleMania 14. That was the first WrestleMania since Mania 12 that I could vaguely remember. And I remember getting so angry at Shawn Michaels, and the build was fucking perfect between Stone Cold and him. And so, one thing you got to remember is when you present your product to fans, you have got to get your head out of your ass and think not of yourself, but think, what would the fans like? Not what we would like. Because what looks good to us as workers on paper, fans ain't going to understand that. Some of them got the fucking IQ of 12 and believe everything they see. Then you've done your job. But if the fans with the IQ of 12 are saying, oh, I don't know about this shit, then you got to rethink. You got to go back to the drawing board. But the ones with the IQ of 12 are the ones buying Brock Lesnar shirts. It's another thing, folks, I want to touch base on. If Alexa Bliss is calling out Brock Lesnar about not being there, not defending his title. Another fucking sub-pay-per-view. Oh, it's not on his contract. No, motherfuckers. He's getting paid $6.5 million to show up, and he only shows up for 35. That's surprising. 35 times. It doesn't make sense whatsoever to me. It doesn't. And this is the group of people that say, well, he doesn't need to defend the title. Yes, he does. He needs to defend that title every single opportunity that he has. There's nothing wrong with cheering for him. But there is something wrong if you do, in fact, believe in a champion that doesn't show up. Because that's giving kids the example. You can win a trophy, but next year our team really doesn't have to do shit because we only have to show up a certain amount of time every fucking year. So in other words, you have a champion that really Roman Reigns kind of pointed this out. Is one of Vince's boys. Does he have privileges? Stumbling upon words on the stand, on the witness stand in court. You know you got caught. Have the balls to admit to it. I ain't saying the chairman doesn't have balls, but have the ball sack to sit there and say, okay, yeah, we have a champion that doesn't defend his title, and we're paying him $6.5 million on a spread for the entire fucking year, so divide that by his appearances. My God, dude. If I was making $6.5 million to show up to WWE's sub-pay-per-views like Money in the Bank, Briefcase, you know, Money in the Bank ladder match, or better yet, let's just go off the cuff right now and say, if I'm Alexa Bliss and I'm making $12.2 million, which is a crock of shit because there's only people making $2 million. Kevin Owens barely cracked the top 10 most paid WWE superstars. There is, and there will always be, somebody that's going to like Lesnar and say the reason why they like him is because Roman Reigns gets his ass beat. Why? Because your girlfriend has a crush on Roman. Is that why? Because Roman takes the attention away from you. Is that why? I must say, the problems that are in WWE Universe Land is one. The misuse of Aries, the misuse of Neville. Yeah, true. They don't grace the presence anymore of WWE programming. I get it. But when you have a champion that presents himself only at the major four pay-per-views, if we're lucky, he presents himself at a small pay-per-view. Heyman is the only one anchoring that fucking gimmick. Heyman is needed because Lesnar, as we've seen, cannot speak. Yet someone referred to Lesnar as Bruiser Brody because people don't understand the type of champion he is. Most of us do, dude. Most of us do know what type of champion Brock Lesnar is, and that's a non-existent one. So in other words, the Universal title may as well be invisible, and the real reluctant champion, or not reluctant, but valiant champion, Seth Rollins. The other valiant champion, well, former, Alexa Bliss. Now, the Raw champion, Nia Jax, who beat Alexa Bliss into oblivion. When you have champions that don't show up, that makes your company look like a bunch of shitbags. It makes your company look foolish. To give the fans what they want, what we want, here's a thought. Instead of selling merchandise at a constant sale price, quit fucking doing that. Because you're not, I mean, you're earning money, yeah, you're at a fast and rapid rate because they can order it off Amazon, and most of the royalties you guys get are from where? You get what I'm saying, right? You get merchandise at the events. You make a lot of money, right? Base your shit off of what the fans would want, not the Rusev Day is over. It's well over. Somebody needs to put him back in the main picture. They did. SmackDown Live has their shit together. Their champion shows up every single week, AJ Styles. You want to talk about a man who benefits the fans in many, many ways. It's funny because Nakamura is well over, so is AJ. Now, those two, their build that they have created in WWE may not be comparable to New Japan, but those two get it. They get it. Now, Daniel Bryan has a lot to do with Money in the Bank to get big cash over, because I have a feeling by some hook or by crook, if Daniel Bryan beats Big Cass, is there going to be a big story about how Cass injures Daniel Bryan? I don't know. And I think it's retarded. That whole bit where Big Cass and Daniel Bryan are going to feud. Just like Jinder Mahal and Roman Reigns. What is the point? There's got to be an end to a meet. So, in other words, Jinder Mahal has a lot of fucking ground to cover because he hasn't been looking good. I mean, ever since the Randy Orton match, the Randy made him look good. But Jinder did face plant during a DDT. Point I'm trying to make is WWE, in order to give the fans what we want, don't listen to the fans with the IQ of 12. Please don't. Because all they know is, well, those are the ones that buy the merch, and those are the ones that, cheer for Lesnar, our champion. That's like saying openly, I'm proud of being this type of person. Asshole. Someone who doesn't listen to an opinion, and when you oppose them, you get called a liberal. Or you get called a snowflake. Or you get called every name in the book because you oppose their opinion. You guys can... Knowing what you want is different than knowing what we want as fans. And I'm going to close it up here, folks, in just a few minutes. There is no rhyme or reason to just sit and watch a champion who doesn't show up. And when he does show up, it's despite all the people saying he didn't show up. All right? So, in conclusion, folks, before I end this shit, because I'm tired, and I worked 8 hours, to end this shit, I'm going to say, if WWE is to give the fans what they want and desire, at Money in the Bank, please have some common sense if you're going to fuck Asuka over. It better be interference, and there better be plenty of. Because I'm not going to believe Carmella going over clean over Asuka any day. Nice girl, beautiful, she's a good champion. But other than that, girly needs work. Just like, that's the only lone spot of SmackDown Live that I can critique. Also, yeah, no way Jose on Monday Night Raw. What's the point? Just another fucking mid-card. Instead of giving the fans shitty matches on Raw, give us some decent matches instead of Braun Strowman destroys the world. There's got to be somebody that can put him in his place, and it can't be Lars Sullivan from NXT. Please stop trying to groom him like that. 3, if you're going to bring War Machine over to NXT, give them a team that they can destroy, fairly, just like the Bludgeon Brothers. Give them... The Revival, I guess, is headed back down to NXT, folks. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to hear more of my rants, I got more. But if you don't believe what I'm telling you, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. I am Brian Rails from Off the Rails Uncensored. And if you enjoyed the craziness, tune in next week where my freaking ass won't bark so much. Ay, jeez. Hit the music, monkeys!